Well, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew, chapter 28. Let me ask you a question this morning. What is success? Now, if I were to go to each one of you would probably give me a different definition of what success is all about. Webster's Dictionary defines success as attaining wealth, prosperity, and or fame. Now, in sports, success is not necessarily that. It has a different definition. In sports, success is winning the game, all right? It's the team that scores the most points that wins the game. But success in ministry is not easily defined. What does it mean for a church to win? Does that mean that we have more attendance than the church down the street? Does it mean that we baptize more people than what the other church over in the other city? Is that what it's all about? Is that we baptize more people? What is the goal of the game is the question. What is the goal of ministry? I believe that's what the disciples must have been wondering as Jesus was preparing to go back and ascend to heaven. What did he want them to do? Did he want them to build great synagogues? Did he want to overthrow the Romans? Did he want to baptize a lot of people in the Jordan River? In the Great Commission, I believe the Lord Jesus states the goal of the game, and he tells us how the church wins. So look with me here in Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse number 18. And Jesus said and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. I heard Dr. Chappell say many years ago, Christ's last command should be our first priority. And that's true, I believe, in any church. The goal of the game for a church is to make disciples. It is to make disciples. Now, the verb here, teach, is a command. It's a primary command. It is the verb form of the noun, disciple. Jesus commanded his disciples here to do for others what he had done for them. He sent them to all nations to do what? Make disciples. How would they do that? How would they fulfill that mission? How would they win the game? Well, they would do it by three things: by going, by baptizing, and by teaching. Making disciples is the mission of the church. That's what the mission of our church is. It is to make disciples. And making disciples is success in the church. Now, you've heard pastors say this, and you've heard us as staff members state this, that the mission statement of Worth Baptist Church is very simply this: we exist to glorify God by making disciples in Fort Worth, the Metroplex, and around the world. Now, the Sunday school department here at Worth Baptist Church is a tool that helps us carry out our mission. Now, it's not a goal. Just having a Sunday school program doesn't mean that we're effectively making disciples. It's not a God. Sunday school is not divinely sanctioned. It's not in the Bible. It didn't really begin till the late 1800s. So it's not a goal. It's not a God. Some churches begin by having small groups that meet off campus or meet in a coffee shop or meet in homes or something like that. Some churches use media to do discipleship. Some parachurch organizations use different things to disciple their people. But for our church, Sunday school is a very effective way to teach more people. In fact, 90% of the people that attend our morning worship service are here for Sunday school. What are they finding? They're finding friendships. They're finding service opportunities. They're finding practical Bible teaching. That's what they're finding. And that's what we want them to find. Now, all of us, now probably all of us men have work benches. Now, I discovered something the other day as I was helping with my wife with Christmas projects. Back a few years ago, my wife bought me this set of drills. And I knew what this one was, but I really didn't know what this one was. Well, just the other day, I was hanging something for my wife, and I took my old trusty drill out here, and I was drilling a bolt into a stud. Yes, I do know what that is, okay? And this is what I heard. I went, man, I just got this a few years ago and it's always broke. Is it the battery? Is the battery all messed up? What's going on here? And it wouldn't turn the screw. And then I remembered, and I appreciate my friend, the handyman of Worth Baptist Church, Ron Baldwin, that told me that these little numbers right here on this drill tells me how much power it gives me. I just happened to look down and notice that this thing was at 2. And that's why it wouldn't do anything. So I turned it over here to this other setting. And I can't even get it on that setting. There we go. And guess what? It worked. It worked. Now, I got this as a gift a few years ago. And here's this. Drilling a screw into the wall, I put a hole in the wall. This thing is powerful. This is an impact driver. This is just a regular driver. So it's very important to make sure we understand the tools that we use for Sunday school. Like any tool, it's good to know how to use it. Isn't that right? It's good to know how to use a tool well. And some churches use Sunday school very well. It becomes the discipleship and the fellowship hub of the church. In some churches, Sunday school is like a tool that occupies space on the ministry workbench, like my other drill that I haven't used since I put a hole in the wall. But it can be an incredible resource, but no one knows how to operate it. In other churches, Sunday school is like a dull tool. It once had great power, but it's gotten dull and rusty as the years go by. And I get the opportunity to preach in a lot of different churches, and Sunday school is either something that's very exciting to go to, or it can also be very depressing at the same time, and there's little room in the middle in most cases. So what is Sunday school supposed to do? How can we here at Worth Baptist Church use it effectively? What part can you play in helping your class be an exciting, friendly place to learn the Bible and build relationships? Listen, this lesson this morning is just not for the Sunday school teacher, not for your teacher. It's for all of us, all right? So let me this morning give you 5 goals of a growing Sunday school class from the tools of Sunday school. Notice the number one, the first goal of a growing Sunday school class is to teach God's Word. To teach God's Word. One of the key components of the Great Commission, of course, is teaching them to observe all things. Is that what the Lord said here in Matthew chapter 28? It absolutely is. Christ commanded that. And Sunday school is a place where people can hear practical, relatable teaching that is geared to their life stage. Now, when I was a youth pastor years ago, I taught a lot to my young people about God, saying God's will, make sure you're dating right, make sure you honor your parents, surrendering to God, all those important subjects that are important to teenagers' life. But in a church in any size, those subjects really can't be addressed from the pulpit by the pastor as often as in the case of teenagers, as much as the teenagers needed to hear them. Sunday school gave our teens an opportunity to hear them regularly and routinely. The same is true for college-age students and for the home builders and the and the young professionals and the empty nesters and the home builders and the senior citizens. It's for all classes. You see, we need to apply God's word to our lives at street level, to where people are at and where you are at. And let me give you a couple of practical suggestions here for being a good hearer of God's word. And we all need to be good hearers of God's word, don't we? First of all, read a passage of scripture before maybe next week's lesson. Many of your teachers are going to give you outlines and helps during this new phase where we're going to give you things to read ahead. Pray throughout the week for your teacher. Pray throughout the week for your class, for the members of your class. Hey, listen, take notes. Pass on what you've learned to somebody during the week. Says, hey, let me tell you what I learned in Sunday school this week. And use that as a practical way. And let me challenge you here in this new year, 2025, to do a couple of things. Number one, create a habit of regularly hearing the Bible. Listen, you should do more hearing of the Bible than what you do on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You need to make it a habit of listening to it during the week. What does the Bible say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we need to hear God's Word. Just don't make it there's a lot of apps out there on your phone that you can get. We have on our Worth Baptist Church webpage where you can listen to messages of the past. Listen, if God spoke to your heart in a message that you've heard by a pastor or somebody else from this pulpit through the week, go back and listen to it again. Go back and listen to it again. So create a habit, but secondly, progress. Progress. Grow in your walk with the Lord in 2025. Is that one of your resolutions that you want to make this year? Even if it's not a resolution, we as Christians ought to have a desire to progress in our spiritual walk and not go backwards. Isn't that right? What is going backwards? It's called backsliding. We need to progress. Sunday school is about more than donuts and coffee and about chit-chat. It's about learning God's word so we can grow in our faith. So we need to teach God's word. Secondly, we need to develop God's people. To develop God's people. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, you can turn over there if you like. But Paul is writing to Timothy. He says, "And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Now, in this passage here, there are three people mentioned. Paul is addressing here, he's addressing Timothy first. Timothy is the discipler here. And then he mentions about faithful men. And these were the men that Timothy was discipling and training for the ministry. And then he mentions a third group of people, and he mentions about others. Those are the people who have yet to be discipled, but need to be discipled. Everyone in our church is in one of those three categories. You're either a discipler, you're being discipled, or you need to be discipled. And the job of Sunday school is to help every member of the church develop from someone who needs to be discipled to someone who is discipling. Now, that's just not for the Sunday school teacher. That's for all of us. And that's why it's very important that we make discipleship the goal of a winning church. Isn't that right? Listen, teachers. I'm going to address the teachers for just a second, okay? Teachers, when someone walks through your door to visit your class, you should be asking, first of all, are they saved? Now, I don't suggest that you go up to them and ask them, hey, are you saved? Especially not during class, okay? Schedule lunch with them. Schedule coffee with them or something like that through the week. Communicate with them and make that connection so that you'll find out, first of all, are they saved? If they're saved, have they been baptized? Have they gone through a continued discipleship or any type of discipleship in their life? Are they serving in the church? Are they studying God's word? How is their family life? How are they parenting? And listen, if you as a Sunday school teacher cannot answer those questions, who can? Who can? Every person that walks through the doors of our church is a gift from God. Let me say it again. Every person that walks through the doors of our church is a gift from God. And it's our job to disciple and develop every one of them. And the primary place that that happens is our Sunday school. Sunday school, I believe, is a laboratory where leaders in the local church are made. There you'll find opportunities to serve. That's where budding song leaders begin to lead songs. That's where a budding teacher begins to teach his first lesson. That's where someone who's an organizer that can plan activities and maybe work a social media page or something like that's where it begins. Budding teachers begin their first lessons by doing that. And the job of the Sunday school teacher is basically this. My job as a Sunday school teacher is to work myself out of a job. It's really what it is. The goal is not addition. You've heard pastors say this many times. The goal is multiplication. Sunday school is a leadership and service pipeline of the church. We influence more when we involve more. All right? So the goal of Sunday school is to teach and develop God's people. Number three, it's to connect God's family. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the Bible says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Now this verse here in the book of Acts gives us four components of a dynamic church here. First of all, a dynamic church continues in doctrine. That's teaching and preaching of God's word. In fellowship. In breaking of bread. Now, we eat a lot here at Worth Baptist Church. It seems like we're always eating. That's not what this verse is saying, though, okay? The breaking of bread. This is probably in reference to the Lord's Supper. All right? But, and then, so each week, do you realize that you do three of those things in Sunday school? Maybe the most important need in a Sunday school is met by the fellowship need. Maybe the need is maybe a fellowship is more than just fried chicken or dinner on the grounds or something like that. Fellowship is a deep relationship. What is fellowship? It is a deep relationship between individuals through active participation in a common mission. Fellowship is deeper than acquaintance. We all have acquaintances, but fellowship is different. What do you discuss? What do you discuss with acquaintances? You discuss basically two things: the weather and sports. Now, you guys that have a close relationship with me know that sports is not just an acquaintance thing. It's a personal thing. And all of you Ohio State fans, watch out. But isn't that true? What do you discuss with friends? You discuss family. You discuss your daily life. You discuss your family. You see, fellowship is something that you can only experience, listen to me, with God's people. With God's people. In fellowship, you can discuss the most meaningful relationship in your life. And what is the most meaningful relationship in your life? It is your relationship with God. That's what it is. And by the way, where else can you do that except in a Sunday school class? Fellowship is when two people bond over someone they're discipling. It's when they go on a mission trip or rejoice together with someone who's saved. It's when one is brokenhearted and the other puts his arm around him and says, "Hey, it's all right. Let's pray about this." That's what fellowship is all about. It's when you sit at a table and you share your testimony with somebody else that you're grateful for. Fellowship is what every person craves. God is a relational God. I'm thankful for that. Isn't that right? And you were created to enjoy deep, life-giving relationships with other people. If you were, I don't suggest you doing this, but I did this for research purposes for this message. But if you Google the atheist church. Let me tell you what they're, you know, let me tell you what they're looking for. And you see this all through their webpage. It's called connectiveness. To connect. Isn't that what everybody wants? Absolutely. We all want to connect with somebody. Even atheists are looking for what we take for granted, and that is connectedness. And Sunday school classes are the places where a church becomes a faith family. It's how a big church feels like a small church. And really is what it is. And how do we experience close fellowship in your class? Let me give you a few things real quick. Number one, we give acceptance. When a person comes into a church, the first question they ask is this: do I belong here? Do I belong here? And no matter who they are, the answer to that question is yes. And if God loves them and Jesus died for them, then what? They belong here. And acceptance is the optimal environment for growth. You know, in Bridge Recovery, one thing that I've always talked to in our new orientation with new students is that here at Worth Baptist Church, you'll find, number one, a church that will love you, and secondly, not judge you. Love you and not judge you. And that's what we need to do, is we need to give acceptance. Acceptance is the optimal environment for growth. And everyone in a class should feel loved, and they also should feel welcomed. Isn't that right? So give acceptance. Secondly, be available. Be available. In a family, people are available for each other. Isn't that right? Sunday school is not like a college class, where you go and you stay an hour and a half, hour and 15 minutes with perfect strangers you know nothing about. That's not what a Sunday school is like. It's like a family reunion. You may or may not see your relatives for a while, but what do? You still stay in close communication with them, don't you? Absolutely. Now, while you may not be close to everyone in your class, you can be close to someone. Hey, let me encourage you, invite someone to lunch after church. Invite them out to coffee during the week. Host a few families in your home. Sow some availability and friendship, and you'll reap a wonderful harvest. And we've got to sow, isn't that right? So we need to give acceptance. We need to be available. We also need to be accountable. People grow in relationships that are high in affection and high in accountability. Listen, I know just from time of discipleship that people, especially men, are not open to accountability. But men, let me just encourage you. Accountability is so very important. And ladies, it is for you as well. I don't want to be accountable to anybody. And you're probably not. But let me tell you something, we need it. We need accountability. I have men that can ask me any question at any time about any subject. And they do. And I'm thankful for that. Why? Because I know they know they're interested in me. I know that they love me. I know that they want me to be the best that God wants me to be. And accountability is so important. Listen. When you miss class, someone from the Sunday school will contact you. They do that because they love you and they care about your spiritual growth. And you should do the same for others in your class. When someone misses class, let them know that you've missed them. This is not just for the teacher. This is for other people in the class as well. Send them a text. Give them a phone call. Hey, listen, they expect the teacher to reach out. Hey, be a class that meets and exceeds expectation and reach out to people. Be accountable. And then number four, attend activities and gatherings outside the class. It's vital for your class to get together outside the class. Think about how often we read about the disciples eating and taking trips together. We read that about all the time, don't we? Very little of their discipleship actually took place in the synagogue. Very little of it. Most of it was walking down a road or sitting in somebody else's house or doing something. That was where ministry was happening at. Most of it took place at the dinner table. People bond through food and play. And the people you eat with and play with are the people who really change your life. And at the end of the day, a Sunday school class is only as close as the members of that class will allow it to be. And as the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Number four, we are to build God's body. We're to build God's body. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 says this, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, remember this. Sunday school is not the church. Sunday school is not the church. It's a tool that God uses to develop and grow the church. It is part of the church, but it's not a replacement of the church. Everybody understand that? A great Sunday school class participates in the life of the church. They go on mission trips together. They pray about special offerings. They join outreach ministries together. And what was the unifying factor of the disciples? Ever thought about that? What were the unifying factor of the disciples? First of all, it was their love for Jesus Christ. Would we all agree with that? And secondly, it was the desire to do something for the one that had did so much for them. And when making disciples becomes the group project of our class and your class, you'll always have something greater that will bring you together. A great Sunday school class is to a church what an offensive line is to a football team. Do you hear that? They work together in harmony to advance forward the goal for the team. And then lastly this morning, to reflect God's heart. Back in Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47, the Bible says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily as such to be saved. What was the result? What was the result of the early church's discipleship? Did you notice this? Lost souls were what? Say it with me. They were saved. Lost souls were saved. And that is the heart of what John 3:16 tells us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Now, how many of you have ever heard the term a Dead Sea Christian? Anybody ever heard that? What is a Dead Sea Christian? Well, Dead Sea, first of all, let me give you a little bit of background what the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea has one tributary that flows into it, and that's the Jordan River. I've been there, beautiful place. In fact, in my office, I have a beaker of sand that I brought back from the Dead Sea. And so, in fact, this morning, I opened it up, put my fingers in there, and felt that feeling of that sand and the salty. Texture, there you go, texture of it. But what is a Dead Sea Christian? See, the thing about it has one tributary going into the Dead Sea, there's nothing flowing out of the Dead Sea. And you can go and you can float, literally float in the Dead Sea because of the salt content in it. So what is, listen, The Dead Sea has no natural outlet, and everything flows into it and nothing flows out of it. I said that to say this. God invests in you and me so much in teaching, in fellowship, in ministry, in love of God. But when those things don't flow out of us, are you listening? When those things don't flow out of us, what happens? We stagnate and we die. That's what happens. And that can happen individually, and that can even happen as a church. That can happen as a Sunday school class. And the most exciting thing that could happen to any Sunday school class is for a few people to get saved, a few people in the class to get baptized, a few people in the class to begin discipling them. And when you look around in your class, you see new people, you see new faces, and what happens? It gives your class purpose. It gives them something even greater, even bigger than donuts and coffee. Each class, each person is responsible to reach people in the community where they are in their stage of life. Young couples reach young couples. Teenagers reach teenagers. College-age kids, adults reach college-age adults. Young couples reach young couples. Older couples reach older couples. Senior citizens reach senior citizens. Singles know more singles. And how can we engage them? What activity can we invite them to? How can we work together to reach others in our life stage? The purpose of Sunday school must stay linked to the purpose of the church. Isn't that right? We exist to reach souls with the gospel, to grow them into lifelong followers of Christ, and then send them out to make more disciples. And a healthy, growing Sunday school class is an incredible tool. It's incredible. It helps the church to accomplish the Great Commission. So let me ask you this question. What is your goal? What is your goal? Is it to teach God's word? Is it to disciple and develop God's people? Is it to connect God's family? Is it to build God's body? And is it to reflect God's heart? Father, thank you so much for your word. I pray that you'd help us all get excited about what you're doing in our church. And Lord, we'd all get excited about this Sunday school relaunch. And then next week, as we go full throttle into this, that, Lord, we'd see even more connectiveness, that we see more people inviting people to their classes and seeing people saved and baptized and discipled. That is our mission. I pray that we'd take that mission and obey the Lord, obey His commandments, and Lord, that you'd bless us. And all of God's people said, amen.